Right now it's 6:20. It's time for the Observation Deck and Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
Thank you, Craig. And thank you, George, for, I guess, sort of putting your life at risk to be broadcasting today. I think that people just don't realize what we lay on the line every day.
Man, it's tough. Really is.
To cast very broadly, which is what we do. Mm-hmm. So, George, have you driven much?
I did.
I know that you don't have as much call to drive out there.
No, and yesterday was the first time I got out in my truck and put it in four-wheel drive. Made it down my street, but, man, it was just a sheet of ice. And this was in the afternoon, and it didn't seem to be melting. There's not enough exposed blacktop, it looks like, on some of these side streets. And I think I was maybe the second one to drive down my street. And I drove all the way down, then I turned around and came back, and it was really slick. And I just thought, if I could just get to a highway, I think I could get into work okay. But it's getting to the highway that's the problem.
Yeah, but you got that big old truck, man. You got to just plow through through someone's pasture to get to the highway. Take a shortcut.
Yeah, smash a few gates and get there eventually.
And once again, yesterday when I was out driving, there was just a lot of people out wandering around like zombies in the community. But let's talk about gay pandas. Very natural transition. Chinese authorities have detained a couple guys.
This, by the way, this is a top five favorite topic for you, gay animals.
Are you talking to Craig or me? I can't see you.
Clearly so talking to you, Gordon Keith.
I've talked about gay animals probably four times in...
Per month.
78 years?
Yes, you are right. Four times a month, we get a gay panda, gay kangaroo, something.
I've never talked about a gay kangaroo.
Oh, yeah.
I want that on my tombstone.
I've never talked about a gay kangaroo.
And then just the dates. So apparently in China, you can't talk about gay pandas. Because these two dudes were arrested for allegedly spreading false information. They claimed that not only were two male giant pandas gay, but that they were gay for each other and their gayness resulted in a successful mating producing offspring.
What now?
What? What?
So you're saying that you don't buy the story?
I don't buy that a male panda gave birth. No, I don't.
Well, authorities say they've opened an investigation after receiving reports online that accounts were circulating a fake screenshot about these two male giant pandas successfully mating in the wild for the first time. The men, identified by police only by their surnames, Gao is 33 and Dong is 29.
Dong?
Long Duck? I remember him.
I choose not to remember him because that was a betrayal that I felt was off the mark. It missed the mark. And I need to tell that film to do better.
Not back in the 80s, it didn't.
Apparently it bullseyed you. You probably laughed at that. Was he the guy that learned how to talk English from Howard Cosell? Or was that a different bit of offensiveness?
What was that, Better Off
Long
Dead?
Long Duck Dong was 16 Candles.
Yeah, Better Off Dead is the...
Yeah, Better Off Dead, that's right.
Those two guys, that was a funny movie. So great. Underrated characters. Two guys from Asia that learned to speak English by only watching Wide World of Sports. So they drove around town in gold ABC sports blazers, talking like Howard Cosell.
And they had a PA system on top of their car.
Why were they broadcasting over a loudspeaker on top of their car?
There he is, just wondering if this is his day.
Always narrating John Cusack's love life.
Yeah.
That's not funny. Once again.
Okay.
Which Better Off Dead, that wasn't a John Hughes film.
No.
Who did that movie? Because it was funnier than 16 Candles. I thought 16 Candles, I just didn't like that movie.
I wasn't a big fan of that movie either. Let's see. Yeah, Better Off Dead creepy. Was Savage Steve Holland wrote it and directed it, produced by Michael Yaffe.
Yeah, no idea.
Not familiar with either.
Back to gay pandas. The Chinese state media, Global Times is their name, they said that the claim was false and that the giant male pandas had not successfully made it in the wild and had baby gay pandas. And they were, not only that, they said they were also not engaging in same-sex mating behavior. So they were even offended that they reported that pandas could even act gay. Which I don't think that's unrealistic.
No.
That person, I mean, we all think bisexual?
Yes, Norm. We think that, well, I wouldn't call them persons, but yes, they're pandas. I think pandas can be bi.
I guess so.
See, and then we always come to this conclusion at the end of one of your animal or mammal stories.
What?
Well, dolphins can be bi. Pandas can be bi. How about
I want to hear you say it, though.
And it's all just to get a reaction out of me. That's why you do these stories.
I don't try to get a reaction out of you. You know how many times one or both of my parents said that?
Oh, my
all
God.
All you do is push buttons.
Boy, they were so right.
What? I don't know what you're talking about, Mom. I don't push buttons.
There really are gay pandas, Mom. You need to accept them.
You just try to get reactions out of people. No, she didn't say reactions. She would always say rise. You always try to get a rise out of people. Whatever a rise is. And then this, I have no idea what these people are talking about. Now, we're about to travel here pretty soon. We're going to go to the Super Bowl and cover the big game for the P1s. And maybe we'll see this, maybe we won't, because I've never even heard of it. Have you heard of gate lice?
No. Oh, yeah, that's what you were called.
These people, I guess, hang around during the boarding process and then jump in front of everyone board the plane.
That's Gordon Keith. And we told you a while back that they're cracking down on this.
Well, I've never even seen this.
Oh, my God.
I don't hang around the boarding process long enough to ever see this.
Yeah, you always board with first class, even though you're group 8 in coach.
Yeah, I always barrel straight into the jetway as if the boarding agent was a matador and I'm running for the cape. So I'm always trying to get on the plane quickly. But, yeah, this is gate lice. And, yes, the airlines have taken certain countermeasures now. Like now, for example, American Airlines has a deal where they're scanning boarding passes. And if you're not in the group that they're calling, I think it lights up a different color and it makes a sound. So the boarding agent is alerted.
Good.
That someone is jumping ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were wondering in this piece that I read, why do people even do this? You have an assigned seat. What does it matter? You just find a comfortable seat in the terminal and just wait for your turn. But you, that overhead luggage space is such a premium.
And you think you deserve it more than others. That's why you get in line out of place and you just kind of, you know, make it
Let's
another
not get
example.
Personal.
Special Exemption Gordo.
Let's not get personal and bring people into this that don't deserve to be.
I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about a group of people.
So one guy that they interviewed, he does an interesting thing. He says that he is not gate lice. He waits for his boarding group, but he has now switched to a soft-sided suitcase that he can fit under the seat in front of him. So that he never has to run into the no room in the overhead. Now, I don't see how you could do that when there's zero leg room already on planes.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, I hate that when they say put your carry-on under the seat in front of you. Then there's nowhere to put my legs and my feet. It just, you feel so scrunched up.
To me, much more annoying than gate lice is the people who, as soon as the plane stops and the ding happens, they stand up. Like, what is that about?
You're
at the back of the plane, and then you're all of a sudden standing up waiting to leave. You're going to be standing there for 15 minutes.
I do that. But the reason I do it is not to try to get out early. It's just to stand. I'm tired of sitting.
Yeah, but see, I'm always a window seat guy. So if I stand, I have to do the hunch.
Oh, man, the hunch is the worst.
I don't do that.
That's a back killer.
Do that in the aisle.
I did do something a little different for the Super Bowl flight. I booked only aisle seats. I am departing from my window seat protocol.
Why?
Me too.
Really?
Why? Yeah. I'm starting to feel closed in by the window.
I usually always pick the window because I want to lean against it to sleep. That's why I always chose the window.
Peeping.
But yeah, now I don't like the hem in.
Yeah.
I can't. I get to where I. But now I'm going to have to risk. Excuse me. Could you stand up, sir? My wife needs to go to the restroom once again. She's. Okay. Stand up. And it seems like I'm always standing for the people who request for you to stand up. You stand up to let them out. And then they just need to settle the things in their seat for a while. And as they stand, turn around and put their jacket down and then also rifle through the pocket, make sure, put their book away. And it's like, you just made me stand up. And now I got to wait for you to go through 15 minutes of getting everything sorted the way you like it before you head to the bathroom to drop off your grossness into the toilet.
Yeah, George, I would think you would hate the window seat because you're claustrophobic and you're really hemmed in there.
I know, and I've started to feel that way. I used to just think looking out the window helped, but that does not counterbalance that very thing you just talked about, that you're hemmed in and you just feel like you can't get out if you had to.
Yeah.
You think our flight's going to be packed?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm.
You know, we're flying.
I was going to say, I'm also an aisle seat guy now, except I don't like takeoff and landing. I still have adult onset fear of flying, and I like seeing out a window because it makes me feel balanced. Like, I can confirm that we're not crashing. So that's why I kind of stay away from the aisle seats, but I have gotten to where I prefer the aisle seat for legroom, for access, and for not being hemmed in.
Oh, hemmed in.
Yeah, like old Burl over there. He's always hemmed in.
Yeah, hemmed in.
So I will be on the lookout for gate lice. As a matter of fact, I probably will jump up to the front of the line and try to get on the plane where I can watch and see if any gate lice is coming into the plane.
Please, God, finally have someone call him on his BS.
Yes.
Please.
Amen. Hey, still the greatest moment of my life is when those Southwest P1s, whoever did it, had my name called first for that flight that we were going somewhere. They had heard us talking about, arguing about my gate lice issue. And I got called before active military and elderly nuns with babies and all the other groups that get to go on first.
Yes. Yeah, that was
phased him a bit. He thought he deserved it.
And George and I
were donating kidneys.
We hated it.
It was great. It was so good. All right. You guys have to watch the Key and Peele sketch of the guy that gets called very last behind all these groups. And there were all these strange religious old people with disabled babies. You may now board. And he's like, come on, that's not a group. What are you talking about? But they were all getting to go ahead of him. And there was always, no matter what kind of group they called, there was always a few people who were in that group.
Those guys are so great.
Yeah.
All right, Gordo.
All right.